So let's take our Bible. I want you to turn to two passages. Ezekiel 22 is the first one. I'm going to make it hard for you to find Ezekiel 22. The other one is Isaiah. Okay, the other one's Isaiah 59. So Ezekiel 22 and Isaiah 59. When you have found those passages, I'll begin with the Isaiah 59 passage. I just want to read a verse out of it. And then I want to read another verse in Ezekiel 22. And by the way, I am trying not to make Wednesday night so preachy. You know what I mean? I don't want it to be me giving exposition, so to speak. I would like you to be more a part of it. Instead of me doing all the talking on Wednesday night, I do enough of that anyway on Sundays. But you got Isaiah and Ezekiel?
Yes.
Good. Okay. So Isaiah, I had you turn to 59. Look at verse 20. See verse 20 in Isaiah 59? I think that's not the verse. 16, I'm sorry, verse 16. Isaiah 59, 16. And he, that is God, saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. There was no intercessor. What's an intercessor? I mean, what's your understanding of an intercessor? Okay, like an intermediary, a someone that what? A go-between, yeah, okay, all right. Yeah, you're on the right track. In fact, the word intercessor there is a word that comes from a verb that means to meet and to encounter. And so a person that is an intercessor is someone that is acting as a spiritual mediator. Someone that stands, you might say, between God and between either an individual or a group of people. In this case, the group is Israel, right? Now, flip over for a moment to chapter 22 of Ezekiel and down to verse 30, because this is really a call for an intercessor, different words. But here's what it says in Ezekiel 22, 30, read it. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap. Isn't that what a mediator does or an intercessor does? I sought for a man among them, that is, among the leaders of Israel, that would make up the hedge of protection around Israel, stand in the gap before me for the land, stand between me and the judgment that I'm about to pour out on the land and its people, that I should not destroy it. But look again, I found none. I found none. There was no intercessor that was found by God in Isaiah 59, 16. There's no intercessor found here during the time of the Babylonian captivity, Ezekiel 22, 30. So an intercessor is a person that acts as a mediator, spiritually standing between God and man. A person that represents another individual or a group of people and prays for them and pleads for others. That's what an intercessor does. Israel's intercession was a total failure. God fails to find an intercessor among his people. There isn't any. And as a result, you know what happened. The judgment fell, right? It fell upon the northern 10 tribes, and then it fell upon the southern 2 tribes. So the whole nation, no intercessor, God's judgment came upon them. I don't know if you caught it on Sunday when we were going through the first 19 verses of Daniel chapter 9, but I talked about intercession because that's what Daniel was doing in that great prayer in recorded in chapter 9. Daniel was actually being an intercessor for Israel. And I said, again, if you were listening, I said that there's another layer to intercession than just being a go-between. What I said was this, that intercession is just not praying for another person or group of people that are facing God's wrath or facing God's judgment. But intercession is also involves this, that you're willing to do whatever it takes. You're willing to sacrificially, voluntarily to be impacted by the intercession, for that intercession that you're praying to take place to happen. For example, I think I gave an example of one time in my younger days when I was deeply burdened for a family member, and I prayed that God would do whatever he had to do to me in order to bring them into a right relationship with himself, okay? But you know, you can be impacted in another way indirectly as well. You know, if you're praying like, say, the prophet Daniel is praying for God's people, you're praying that, Lord, whatever it takes for these people to be brought back into a right relationship with you, do it. But if you do that to them, it'll be done to me too, because I'm a part of them. So you're sacrificially inserting yourself in between the people that you're praying for and God's judgment upon them. So this is a question that I want us to ask ourselves. I want you to ask yourself this personally. And we need to ask ourselves this question. You ready? Here it is. Are you as an individual, honestly now, are you willing to suffer in order to see God bring a spiritual awakening to this city, to this country, to someone you know, to someone you love, to a parent, to a spouse, to a child, to some family member, to a neighbor, to some friend? In other words, let me put it in these terms. Another question. How far are you willing to go to see God do that? Think about it. Are you an intercessor? Are you willing to be an intercessor? Are you willing to sacrifice yourself, so to speak? Are you willing to be impacted even negatively as need be in order to see God move and God do something in a person's life or a group of people? How far are you willing to go to see God do it? How much are you willing to sacrifice or to suffer if need be for God to save that person that you are so burdened for? There's really a measure of how burdened you really are, right? I never saw anything like what happened in the first 6 minutes watching the Bills and Bengals game on Monday night. The Bengals wide receiver, T. Higgins, was hit by the Bills safety, or we used to call him defensive. He hit him. The tackle, the defensive tackle, Damar Hamlin, hit the wide receiver, Higgins. And it was such a hit that that when Hamlin tackled him, he was shook by it. He got up, stood up, and then collapsed. And he just lay there. And immediately, they realized that he had probably suffered a heart attack from that, from hitting that man that he tackled. And the medics immediately started performing CPR. And they also got the paddles and did the electric shock to get his heart back going and in rhythm. And they worked on him for 10 or 15 minutes. They had an ambulance right on the field. And finally, they loaded Hamlin into the ambulance. And they took him from the field to a Cincinnati hospital for further testing. When they then at the hospital, they sedated him, and he's still in a drug-induced coma and in critical condition. Now, at that point, when that young man collapsed on the field like that, the football game was suspended. I mean, we weren't sure if they were going to later on continue the game or not. But at that moment, the game stopped. And really what happened was, at that point, when that happened, the football game was over. Because football was no longer important, even for the fans in the stands. Football was no longer the important thing. All the teammates and the fans and even the opposite team were praying for this kid, 24-year-old DeMar. And the Bills players, there's pictures of them and staff are kneeling together and they're praying, 50, 60 guys praying on the sidelines. And all the sports commentators were talking about prayer for this guy. In fact, we have a clip. And I want you to listen to this. This is NFL Live. I want you to listen to this and see the impact that this incident had.
This is a little bit different. I've heard it all day, like thoughts and prayers. And you just heard Scherf and Jonathan Allen say, like, all we can do is pray for him. And I've heard the Buffalo Bills organization say that we believe in prayer. And maybe this is not the right thing to do, but I want to, it's just on my heart that I want to pray for
it. Is
DeMar Hamlin right now. I'm going to do it out loud. I'm going to close my eyes. I'm going to bow my head, and I'm just going to pray for him. God, we come to you in these moments that we don't understand, that are hard, because we believe that your God, coming to you and praying to you, has impact. We're sad. We're angry. And we want answers, but some things are unanswerable. We just want to pray. Truly come to you and pray for strength for DeMar, for healing for DeMar, for comfort for DeMar, to be with his family, to give them peace. If we didn't believe that prayer didn't work, we wouldn't ask this of you, God. I believe in prayer. We believe in prayer. We lift up DeMar Hamlin's name in your name. Amen.
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 Okay. I just wanted you to see. Now, that's because one football player had a heart attack right in the beginning of a game. You know what that incident reveals? That incident reveals that God has made human beings in his image and has put eternity in their heart. And instinctively, when horrible circumstances, extreme difficulties arise, we naturally know who to turn to. We naturally know where to go, and that's to God. It reminded me of the saying that there are no atheists in the foxhole. And it got me thinking that if a serious player injury could impact the entire NFL like that and put them on their knees praying to God, what would it take for New York City or for the United States of America to fall on its knees and cry out to God in prayer? Would it take the whole football team having a cardiac arrest? not wishing that, but I'm wondering. You know, you would think what happened on 9/11 would have had a lasting impact. Let me tell you, the impact of that, as far as turning to God is concerned, vanished in 2 weeks or less. What's it going to take? And how long does it have to last for God to get a hold and to cause our city, our nation, to cry out to him in prayer like this? I found myself, as a result, asking God to do whatever it takes to make that happen, which means I might have to suffer. You might have to suffer. It may mean the end of the American dream for us. It may mean that we would be brought to extreme poverty. Well, who knows? I'm not wishing that on myself, on you, on this country. But I'm telling you, there is something so much more important than what we have placed importance upon. And so I ask God to do whatever it takes to make that happen. What do you think it will take? Have you thought about that? What will it take if 9/11 didn't do it? What will it take? Will it take 100 9/11s happening all at once all over the country? What would it take for this nation, or just this city, for instance, just this city, to get on its knees and cry out to God, like we saw pictured on that football field? Got any ideas? Is this a concern to you? I mean, it was heartwarming to see these people praying. I don't know how many of them even knew the Lord, but they knew they needed to pray. Is there anyone that God brings to your mind to whom he wants you to be the person who intercedes for them? The one that he intends you to be, the one who stands in the gap between them and God's wrath, God's judgment? If a person's name comes to mind, mark it down right now. Mark it down. I mean, if you can remember it, fine. But mark it down if need be. Write it down. Put a note on your phone right now. I'm serious. If there is someone that God brings to your mind that he wants you to stand in the gap and intercede for them so that they don't fall, so the wrath of God and God's judgment does not ultimately fall upon them right now, write their, that person's name down on a piece of paper or on your, put it on your phone. Got that name in mind? Are you willing? Are you willing to tell God right now that whatever it takes, even if God would have to take you home, even if God would have to bring hurt into your life or into their life? You know, we have people that we love dearly and they're not right with God. And we've been praying for them, and we want them to get right with God, but we've never entrusted them into God's hands, have we? And said, Lord, whatever you have to do to them, God's a God of mercy. You can trust him with your dearest loved ones. There's something worse than physical injury. There's something worse even than physical death, and that is to be in hell for all eternity. And so doesn't it make sense that we pray, Lord, whatever it takes? I guess it really comes down to the fact, this question. Would you be willing to pay the price to see that person or that family or that group of people made right with God? Are you willing to pay the price? Because there's a price to be paid. to be an intercessor, to insert yourself sacrificially between a person or a group of people and the wrath and judgment of God, rightly deserved. Let's bow our heads together, shall we? This is serious stuff. This is just as serious as a heart attack that football player suffered on Monday night on that field. This is serious stuff. This is God, and this is his desire. He's not willing that that person that, or family or whatever he put on your heart when I asked that question a moment ago, he's not willing for them or that person to perish. And he wants you to be the intercessor. He wants you to be that go-between. He wants you to be that mediator. He wants you to insert yourself between his judgment, his wrath upon sin, and that individual. He wants you to absorb whatever needs to be absorbed. He wants you to say, God, whatever it takes, whatever you need to do to me or them in order to bring about their salvation, God, do it. And I mean sincerity, really meaning it. That's intercession, folks. It's a serious, serious ministry. It's a serious kind of prayer that God calls his people to. And that's what gets results. That's what saves souls. That's what builds churches. That's what invades Satan's territory and brings demon-possessed people into life and a saving relationship with Jesus. And that's the call tonight. Again, I sought for a man, or you could say a person among them, that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Oh, that would not be the last word. But I found none at Bethel.